sincere and quality for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Borough of Zeebrugge, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, has provided the daytime and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, published the same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper, filed the notice with the borough clerk, and posted notice on the borough offices and the borough website. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Cashmore?
Here.
Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
Mr. Giulio?
Here.
Vice President DeCia?
Here.
Vice Chairman DeCia? Mayor Kelly?
Here.
Councilman Lexman?
Here.
Mr. McGinley? No. Mr. Knott? Not here. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Down.
Ms. Bills?
Here.
Ms. Ray?
Here.
Ms. Warman?
Here.
Okay. We have a minutes from February 11th.
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll second.
Roll call for that.
Well, let's see, those who are eligible. Mr. Giulio?
Yes.
Mr. DeCia?
Yes.
Councilman Lexman?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Ms. Ray?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Okay, on to the Mountain View Villas LLC, to Mountain View Way. Lot 33, lot 20.02, 34, lot 34, lot 3.01, 3.02, and 3.03, 7-lot subdivision with single family residences. Good evening, sir.
Can I just ask, Carrie, can you tell us what an informal versus
yes. As you know, this is an informal application, so it does not involve any use variances, because otherwise we couldn't listen to it. So what they're going to do is just present a concept and kind of probably, I'm assuming, because we don't really have a lot of information on the application itself. They're going to give you maybe some alternatives of what they're thinking, and they kind of are just feeling the temperature of the board. Nothing that you say here is binding. Even if you say, you know, well, we'd like to see A, that doesn't mean that, they prepare it that way, that when it comes to the regular hearing, that's not binding. You can, you know, have full and open discussion. The public can have full and open discussion. So it's just an informal. We're not going to necessarily, we don't usually open it to the public. And we usually limit you on the time because, again, we're not making any decisions.
And the public hasn't been noticed on this.
Correct. The public has not noticed. The public doesn't really participate. You'll have a full opportunity to participate when they come back with a real application.
And we're not voting on anything.
No vote, no nothing.
Absolutely. I just wanted to make sure all the new ones, not everyone's, but yeah. We don't do these very often.
Right. So. Thank you.
We used to do them a lot.
I'm sure.
We used to do a lot more, actually. You're right.
Yeah.
Good evening. My name is Bob McGowan. I'm the attorney representing the applicant. We are here for an informal, and we appreciate the opportunity to come before you and explain to you what we're thinking, hopefully get some feedback to you, and then, of course, we'll come back for a formal application and a full hearing and full notice to the public. We also intend to meet with the neighbors to discuss it. We had the opportunity to come a little earlier than we expected, so we didn't have a chance to do that yet. With me this evening is Jackie Floor, our engineer. She's prepared some plans, and Jackie can start to describe it to you.
It's really informal.
There's no testimony or anything. Basically, we're talking with...
I swear people in, but I have an objection to it. But Jackie, I'll do it anyway just to make it
clear. Not that she can lie to us.
No. That's fine. Ready? So you solemnly swear a testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you just say your name and spell your last name for the record?
Sure. Jacqueline, J-A-C-L-I-N, Floor, F-L-O-R. I'm a professional engineer in New Jersey. I've represented multiple boards, including
this board.
Looks familiar.
Without any objection from the board, we don't have any objections.
Okay.
Jack, basically we're talking about seven homes, and Jackie will explain to you.
Since I figured these would be hard to see, is it okay? I don't know if I can mark them.
No. Okay. Again, it's in directions, there's no binding procedure.
Okay. take one and pass them down?
Has there been any discussion with any of the neighbors?
One of the front neighbors we may, like one of the people may have had discussions with.
Just for my information.
Yeah, yeah.
And before we do start with Jackie, can you just run through, this is an LLC, can you just tell us members of the LLC, the ownership, so that we can make sure there's no conflicts with anybody?
One of the members is here with us this evening, Mr. Fazell.
How you doing? I'm Pat Farrell. I'll be the builder and I'm one of the principals of the project. I have one other partner and investor, Jeff Mulgar, who lives in Monmouth here. And so it's just the two of us.
So here you are, Pat Farrell, F-E-R-R-O?
Correct.
Okay, and the other one was?
Jeff Mulgar.
Mulgar?
Yes.
Okay.
M-U-H-L-G-E-I-E-R.
Okay.
So the original owner is not participating in this?
No, there's multiple owners. I think there's like five or six.
Well, Waterford Construction bought that originally, didn't they?
I just want to make sure.
They have nothing to do with it.
They have nothing to do with it.
Right.
No.
And so nobody on the board has any conflicts with any of the principles that we just mentioned.
Whatever the comment is, Pat is actually looking to have one of the houses here for himself. He's going to build that house for himself too.
So just to give you a feel for what you have in your packets, if you flip through, you'll see that there is this aerial. This is just to show you the existing conditions. This is Mountain View Way. I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. You're probably familiar with the properties up here. You can tell that it pretty much dead ends. If you see right here, this is actually the bulkhead. And there's no public access right now. So that gives you a feel for the existing conditions. The property you just brought up, you thought possibly was involved, but it was not. This is the last time this came before you. It was a three-lot subdivision. So we wanted to bring that because we knew you were going to be familiar with it. So that if there's any question or if you want me to bring it back up, this is what you approved before. In red, which is in your packets, you'll be able to flip to that in case you can't see it this far, so you can get a feel for what you approved last time.
That was the application I was speaking about. That's
correct.
Tony Mars' name?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
we approved that previously.
Right, and it's our understanding and that he never finalized his contract, so he's not under contract for this property, to our knowledge. And so this is the proposal that we're bringing before you for an informal. It is a 7-lot subdivision. What we are showing here is a hammerhead design. If you flip to your packet, you'll also see we included turning templates for a fire truck. This is a ladder truck, the largest truck that we could run, just to show you how a ladder truck would come in, be able to turn around and leave into this area. So this is the design that the client would prefer, is the hammerhead design. Just to give you a feel for how we laid out the property, this is very similar to what you saw before. So if you look at these three lots here, the only difference is because we wanted to be able to make that turn, and whether this was a cul-de-sac or a hammerhead, you would still have this angle here. So either way, trying to build anything back here, you're going to need to trim off a corner of that lot, right? So that's the only difference on these three, is that corner right there, which reduces the area of that lot slightly. So if you look at the zoning table, which is also in your packet, and you go to 305, you're going to see that the lot area, there's a slight variance for that because we trim off the corner in order to make the turning movement of the truck for the hammerhead. These two lots in the back are easier to see here in the yellow, which are also in the packet. But pretty much the same, except for they have the access here, the hammerhead in front of them. This creates two front yards. So therefore, we're showing right here a second front yard, which essentially will act like a side yard, but we have to call out the variance here. We took the hammerhead shy of the Land's End property because we don't want to create a second front yard, because issues. So we stop shy of that, and we can still make all the turning movements. And then we're proposing two lots right here on the southern end. If you look at these two lots, you can see the front yard setback here, the property along Ocean Avenue. It's 5 feet. We're matching that here with these two properties. Let me just clarify that in gray, these are just example footprints. They could end up being less. We're showing you if we were to put, these are all single family. These are potential footprints and what ones would trigger variances and which ones would, we can still play with those a little bit, but these are the desired footprints of the client. On the rear yard, you can see that the existing is 4.5 here. So we match that with these two as well. And that's pretty much gives you a feel for what we're proposing. In addition to that, you can see we wrote proposed public access here. The client would like to propose public access, which we thought would be a benefit unless the board doesn't want public access there. It's just something that the client believes you would possibly want.
So you're talking about dedicated beach side to the town?
To build a public access and have an easement there.
And be dedicated to the town.
Yes. Right.
And that's something the council has definitely taken advantage of before for developers offering, and it's something the town definitely wants.
And then we're also proposing here in the back a second public access.
Could I ask you a question? Is that just the steps? Is it the whole lot across the street? Or does it include the beach, or do they not own the beach?
To my knowledge,
they do not own the beach, but it does include the lot.
What we did in the past, Lance, was we, if you remember, what application was that?
Yeah, that's for Northwoods.
That was Northwoods. And what they did was they built the stairs, or the stairs were over
there. No, we are to build stairs.
You want to build the stairs. And we would, so I think the same thing would have to happen here if we did this, that we would take, that they would build stairs, they would dedicate the lot over to the town. So.
There are three houses on Ocean Avenue, so exactly which lot do they have that they would be giving to the town?
It's on the ocean side.
I understand that, but I would assume those three houses on Ocean Avenue have lots across the street also.
No, they don't.
No.
What is the size of the property? So what's the size of the property that you own across the street?
I don't have the exact size, but it's our understanding that they don't have public access over there. So we would be proposing, and we can show you the exact size of that parcel across the street. I still have that on here right now.
Yeah, that'd be good to know. Because you don't have right to the whole area.
But they show that they're here. I don't know if that's correct.
Yeah,
I think it's more conceptual at this point.
We have a tax lot. What the dimensions of the tax lot are.
Yeah. I mean, when they come in on the final application, they have to know that, obviously. I mean, because typically the houses that front on Ocean Avenue that have the rights, or which is what it was in Northwinds, if you remember, it was all spread out.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Well, they should do title.
Yeah.
We actually were talking about title today.
Well, please, you don't have to tell us.
Sole rights. Okay, yes. So the client's saying that they have sole rights to it. They already did title on and they have sole rights to it along that.
But the size of it, we're not
sure. A lot. You have sole rights
to A lot.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly
that lot.
Size.
That lot. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Other people own other lots.
Correct.
We're very informal, but that's of great interest to the town.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we'll address that.
Yeah, but the street is too narrow to park on. There's no place to park anyway, so it's not going to benefit anybody.
Just a few people there.
One thing at a time.
Okay. Okay.
You have an issue? Bring it up, Dave.
Which of all the houses, can you point to each one and tell me? I have trouble reading this. I can't read it. I know my eyes are going, but it's a little blurry. Which are conforming lots, if any?
Sure. So if you look at
the zoning. Can you point to the house, though?
So lot 3.04, if you look at your, in front of you, if you look at this first 3.04 here, mm-hmm. You can see that that's totally conforming. Yeah.
Which one of the lots? The point of the lot on the...
And that could be this lot.
That one's conforming.
Right.
Lot 305, which is this one, just has a slight lot area variance, and that's because we cut off the corner and created a second front yard here, so that's the front yard.
Okay, so except for the curve that is a conforming lot, it would have been normal, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And the front lot, 3.06 is totally conforming, 3.07 is totally conforming. 20.03 is this one right here, and that one has a lot area variance as well as a lot depth variance. We could only go so deep based on where the road was. We anticipate a front yard setback variance as well as a rear yard setback variance. Same thing with a lot next to it, 20.04. And 20.05 is conforming.
Is conforming.
Correct.
So the main two lots that are really not conforming are the two on the south side of the street.
Correct.
Jackie, I know you said the hammerhead is the preferred, but I don't know if you saw, this was sent over to Tom Hagee, our fire marshal, and did you see his response?
Yes.
That he would prefer the cul-de-sac.
Yes, and we will provide him the turning templates as well to see if we can sway him into, so we would want to hear your feedback first, if you would accept the hammerhead, if the fire official would accept it. If not, then the cul-de-sac is...
Speaking for myself, I don't care, but I got to make sure my fire marshal's happy. You know, I'm not going to go against Tom Hagee on what's safe. That's just me.
And that's our question, I guess. If we could satisfy the fire marshal, does do any of the board members have to be dependent?
I think we probably also refer to our engineer, too.
And David, yes.
Yeah. I actually met with Jackie a couple weeks ago on this, and she showed me this design. And also the cul-de-sac design. Of course, I'd like, being an engineer, not quite a fire marshal, I'd like the cul-de-sac design. But the truth is that if Tom Hagee decides that it's acceptable for all his fire reasons to have the hammerhead, I wouldn't stop it. I mean, I wouldn't put up a guard and say no.
I think the hammerhead design creates more legal size lots versus the cul-de-sac. Eats up a little more area, does it?
That's right.
Gives it more private property for all the lots. Yes.
Correct.
You end up with a lot more pavement with the cul-de-sac. And you end up with more non-conforming.
So that lot 2101, your front lot there on the bottom, it's not yours. It's to your right. Go right. Go right. To your left. The other right. Okay. Your other right.
No, yeah. The one's not.
So that... that's been the subject of, it was the subject of a recent use variance. Very vociferous objection, as you might know, so I think.
We can address that though. I think we talked a lot about that today.
Yep.
And these are all gonna be single family. You'd even be willing to.
Would be willing to
deed restrict it.
I'm just saying, you need to talk to those neighbors.
Yeah, so I mean, we could deed restrict it to basically state that we're not interested in renting them as, what is it?
Short-term rentals.
Or any of the things that caused the issue on that. They're not.
I don't think that's what caused the issue, but yeah. Okay. Just so you know.
Yeah, you're definitely going to want to talk to Lynn and those front
cars. So we thought it was a short-term rental issue was the reason that there was issues.
No, they live there. It's a family. It is a two-family.
They did go to court, and actually, when it's finished, now there's less decks on the back.
Right. They reached a settlement with Land's End to just cut down the size of the house because they objected to literally the size of their deck, the size of so.
Okay.
We definitely intend to meet with Land's End.
You have your work cut out.
Yes, we do.
We understand that.
The other thing here is that we are proposing public access also to bulkhead, 5 feet wide. Additionally, since we're looking to vacate this in the back, currently the municipality would be responsible for that small piece of bulkhead that would no longer be responsible for that. It would be under private ownership. So those are all the advantages.
Could you say that again?
So right now, in the existing condition, this is the public right-of-way, and there's a bulkhead at the end of it. So it's our understanding more than likely the municipality would probably be responsible for the maintenance of that bulkhead. What we're proposing is to vacate the right-of-way in the back in order to create more on these two lots, and we'll still leave a 5-foot public access right-of-way to the bulkhead for fishing or for access or anything. and that the repair and maintenance of that bulkhead would become under private responsibility.
Would it be like a homeowners association or something?
Yes.
Okay.
And also...
Haven't we had issues with that?
Homeowners.
No,
It wasn't the election, I know that.
For vacating the...
Vacating, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I think the difference here would be, what she just said, is that they're going to have public access, so not eliminating the public access.
Okay.
Now, our expectation is that, one, we're going to preserve the ability for public access to the river. We're going to add public access to the beach, build stairs for that. As the board knows, I mean, basically, what we're doing is proposing to develop this area into single-family homes so that, it is then developed and not available for further discussions as to whether this should be multifamily, which I don't think either the town or the board is really looking for. Yet, it is in between two high-density projects. What we're trying to do is propose a very low-density, single-family development in between those high-density things. And we will certainly meet with Zen and we'll talk to the people at the street end to make sure we're all together.
And then the last thing is that I know that it's under moratorium, and so the applicant is proposing, if the town wanted this to be a private road, they're happy to take this and make it a private and have the homeowners association maintain it, if the board so wished for that to be the case. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
We defer to the council.
The board can't do that.
It's an R2 zone, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so that's restricted to single family.
I know.
The only reason we usually accept two families if it's an existing condition. Google, so one family would only be considered.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any comments?
Let's start one question. Yeah. Would the applicant be willing to maybe increase the setback in front and rear on the two lots that are on the south side of Mountain View?
About how much would you
think? A couple of feet.
We would.
They're 5 and 4. It's 4.5. That's
not very much. Perfectly honest with you, from the conversation, if we could get that hammerhead, we would have a lot more flexibility to do that.
Yeah.
But that. The cul-de-sac really cuts up that piece of property there.
It's similar to the lots being, houses being 4.5 feet to the land's end line.
Yeah, they could put a smaller house.
Yeah.
Where obviously, it's two issues. One is the subdivision and the size of the lots, but as Jackie.
Well, you got the road, you can do a lot better.
That's right. And Jackie indicated that, the gray is just kind of just to show us what could go there. You're not.
That's the maximum size.
Yeah.
What is the footprint of those two houses?
1240 and 1395.
If I remember correctly, that is
1.4. 1.4, correct.
Yeah.
Right, I understand that.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, there were widening lines on this street, weren't there, Dave?
Widening lines?
Yeah, remember we had a controversy on whether that house on the front, he wanted?
Yes.
There was a widening line on that street.
Oh, well, I was talking about it because it's only 20 foot right of way.
It's only 20 foot wide.
And that's not, our township normal, our borough normal is 50, and then RSIS can go down to what, 30 or something like that, or 35. But it's still way smaller than a normal street would be in this borough.
It is. It's very congested down there. I'll tell you, if you want to hear my opinion, I would say the 5 houses, those two on the south end, I wouldn't be happy with. I think they're just too much. But that's my opinion. The hammerhead design with the 5 houses, the two on the south side, I think should be eliminated. There's just not enough space for them, there's too much congestion, and I'm sure Land's End is going to fight you to the death.
Yeah, I would not even come back here until you've talked to Land's End and the owners up in front to see what they think. It's not even worth coming back here.
Does anybody else on the board have any opinion? Or you think it's
suggestive?
It's comfortable? You like it or not like it? Or they want to hear from us?
Provided that Land's End doesn't object, we would like to hear feedback so we know whether to come back, differently or if you're okay with what we're.
I have a question. So it looks like the property is equal on the north and the south side. Why do you want 3 houses on one side and 2 on the other?
It's actually because these aren't very deep. They're very narrow. And if we were to put three, it would just be almost...
Okay, okay, I see.
Think of that original application, the narrowness of the south side was a big issue.
They're only 40 feet deep. 40 feet is very narrow. In the downtown area, I say that's more acceptable. In the North Beach with an R1 zone and R2 zones up there, which we're trying to give a little more air and room around them, I would prefer that we didn't congest it with houses on top of each other, but that's my input.
Dave has indicated that he would like to maybe, I don't know, are you talking about making that one lot instead of two on that side? Or?
No,
it's not.
Oh, no lot?
I agree with Dave.
It's a narrow
houses in the hammer.
Lot's only 20 feet wide. 20 feet is nothing. Did you drive down that street? It's nothing. And then have a house 4 feet off the street, or you'd be a tower on you, it'd be coming down a canyon.
The
lot's only 40 feet wide.
Right, 40, you said 20. I just wanted to make sure.
No, the street is wide.
Yes, gotcha.
So you come down a narrow street.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
With a house 4 or 5 feet off the street, 25 feet in the air, you're going to feel like you're driving down a canyon.
No, I just wanted to clarify. I didn't know if you meant get rid of one lot or both of them.
Well, this is just my opinion.
Yeah, no, they want to know exactly what it is you meant. That's all.
I would be agreeable to just the five lots, the three on the four on the north side and the one on the south side on the west.
Dave, what would you do with those two lots? Of this
meeting? It could be part of the property, it could be part of the common area.
It could be part of the common area.
Oh, yes, yes. One more.
You have a house on the front yard.
They're undersized lots. They're non-conforming.
That house is 160 feet deep.
Right, so if we were to make one house here, we would have a very similar lot to this lot here, and to this lot.
Right, but now it's an R2 zone there. It's changed the setbacks. You have a 15-foot setbacks. Rear yard, 15 feet in the backs, front. Dave, what's the front yard setback in an R2 zone?
25, isn't it?
25 feet. If you set back off the street 25 feet and 15 feet off the back property, you only have enough property. You couldn't build anything on it.
If that was the case, then they might as well just keep this, and then you don't get the benefit of public access, you don't get the benefit of the hammerhead, you don't get the benefit of the access to the back here, because that's really no different than this. If we're just going to put three back, because we already have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 here. So in order to get these extra, you know, an extra lot in here, that's why they're proposing long-term improvements and take over the road.
But they're so undersized, it doesn't meet the R2 zoning whatsoever.
But it does conform with the lots that exist.
What's 25 and 15?
40.
40. The lot's only 40 feet deep. You can't build anything on it, legally. So, nothing. You can build nothing. You put a fence on it.
Well, that's why we're asking for a variance. All I'm saying is this lot here is similar. But one has here, the lot is very similar to this one. That's
well, I'm not deciding factor.
I'm just talking back and forth.
I think it's too much for that one little tiny street.
We appreciate the input. We're going to meet with Lands End.
I think that's going to be your biggest opposition.
Okay. Carol, you had an idea.
We'll see how that goes.
No? Well, I'll say it. If you eliminated one of the houses, you might have some extra room to put some parking back there for the development. It's just something to think about.
Yeah, if that was community property, those, I know you want to build houses and make money on it. Obviously, that's worth a lot of money. But if that was open space to the neighborhood for the five houses, and you have a community there, have a couple extra parking spaces for visitors, you know, it would be an asset to the neighborhood itself.
But as Jackie said, at that point, there's no point in doing any of this because we already have five.
You already have what?
We already have five lots.
They're talking about making six instead of seven. Making that.
Well, that's why we're saying. I mean, there's
talking about six lots.
I was thinking of six. I know. Yeah. I know Dave's not saying that, but I was thinking of six.
Adding some parking for
adding some parking.
We would be possibly open to that if push comes to shove, because you know we're hoping that we're going to sweeten the pot with Land's End by giving them access, because they don't have access to the beach now. They'd have to walk quite a ways to get onto the beach.
Well, they have no public access in
that area?
No, they don't.
I thought they have their own access, they just have
one. Oh, that'd be
well, okay. Well, they have no scale. That was what they did.
Well, I thought that would help. We will talk to them.
Yeah, they'll talk to us directly. We're under the impression that they do have steps planned there.
No, I was over here.
Okay.
I don't think the public access on the riverside really would mean anything to the public without parking or somewhere to get there.
You're saying public parking in that other lot?
Right.
Somewhere.
Is that what you're saying?
Those.
They're talking about, yeah, parking for that neighborhood only.
Well, no, it would be public, it would have to be public parking.
Public parking?
Yeah. Rather than houses there, that's all I'm saying. It's too narrow to build anything.
If you lived here, let's say this was your house, or even if this was your house, and you've got a parking lot right next to it, I mean, it does change the flavor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely change.
For each.
You're not going to get that many spaces in there anyway.
So if we have public access, and we have spots here that we are talking about now for overflow parking for the development, actually, those can be used for anybody.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they want to build the houses only 4 feet from the property line in the rear and 5 feet from the property line in the front. That's more congested in downtown.
Dave, the only thing I'm thinking is, you know, they point out the fact that that first house is in a similar lot.
Well, it's existing, though.
No, I understand that, but what are you going to do with those lots?
You love open space.
I do, but you can't expect the lots to remain forever.
Can't just pay my utility.
Right, yeah, you can't, exactly. If you zone something to do with utilities, eventually what ends up happening is they sue for inverse condemnation against the town because you won't let them build anything on it, and then the town's got to pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
From my experience, I'm assuming your parking for most of your residences are going to be underneath?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So that means
does anybody know what this right-of-way is for here? Or this, whatever this is here, 10-foot wide strip, use unknown.
It's not for lanes in to walk to the beach, to the river.
I don't think anybody's walking on that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's got to show up in the title search.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to show up in the title search.
Yeah, we're going to do it in the title search.
I think that's Charlie Williams.
Charlie Williams.
I don't know, Michael or Quinn, you know. Where is it?
I think that's what
it was. For 4 years.
Well, we have 10 feet, is what I'm saying.
What was it for?
Just so people that wanted to walk down to the river, it hasn't been used. But maybe old Land's End, that was all gone.
That's your property?
No, that's not mine.
The 10 feet.
We're trying to figure out. We're checking with title. We didn't come prepared for that.
Probably Land's End.
If we were to gain 10, maybe we'd have a different conversation here.
Probably a public easement of some kind.
I'm sure it is, but, you know.
We're going to research it. We'll find that out if it works.
Good.
You say you have a homeowners association?
Yeah, we say.
Yeah, maybe the homeowners association is not a swimming pool or something like that.
We're all neighbors.
Excellent thought.
Yeah, we could think about maybe doing some type of amenity here for the association here, for sure.
Should we?
Maybe we go for that. But if we could get the.
That's a lot to think about.
Should we open the public since there are people who want to talk about this? I think the people who live nearby. I mean, I don't.
It's up to the board, that's
okay with me.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the applicant would like to hear what they have to say.
Sure,
absolutely.
Anyone in the public have a statement?
Well, you have about 10 people here that are.
What are
from very close neighbors. I mean, what are the odds for that?
I'll give my opinion. I think right now, four or five of those houses are already there. You have the house on the corner.
These are.
That's there. The two up front of there.
These three are here, and there's two houses here.
I think it's a great plan.
Yeah, me too.
It's just an awesome street. You're going to take it and make it better than it's ever been. It's a beautiful view of the Twin Lights, the bridge, bars, landing. I mean, that is just an awesome place to live. I don't know about the size of the lots and all that, but I think Dave said 15 times, I'm just giving my opinion, but.
It's a public access platform. Don't you have to have parking for people?
Yeah, is that parking?
Like Via River has public access, so you park on Via River or like that. Do all the public access have parking somewhere near so the public can park?
No.
You go in? No.
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 So this one would have parking across the street, or you build the steps?
All right, we're going to have to hold it to one at a time. Anyone else? Excuse me, anyone else? More question or want to be heard?
Thank you. Thank you for your question.
Yes. Thank you.
So again, I just highly suggest you talk to Lands End and those two front property owners and get their opinion before you come back.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to move on to the new application, CBZB 2020-01. Number 26 Woodview Way.
Mr. Chairman,
I have to sit down for myself. We own a property.
That's very nice.
Yes, sir.
Photos stapled together consisting of eight photos, that's A2. A3 are the architectural plans by Anthony Condoris, dated 12819, Federal Earth Residence. And I should mark, I'm just going to make it, D1, the report of the board engineer, Mr. Hoder, dated February 24, 2020.
With that, the board has jurisdiction in making. I got it. I was away, so I didn't get it today. Sorry. Does anybody need an extra one?
Can you
need this one? I wrote that one.
I have one.
Thank you.
you've been before us on many occasions.
Yes.
Do we need to...
He's the attorney, so no, but Mr. Condoros...
Yeah, we'll have this.
We get
to
him.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Rick Ross, on behalf of the applicant, Michael Burke. The property, the application pertains to the property that's located at 26 Water View Way. And the application seeks approval as my architect will go through during his testimony. There's an expansion and upgrade of the existing two-family residential structure on the site. There is also a second structure on the site, which basically serves as a cabana for the property owners. There's nothing proposed with regard to any work to that property, to that structure. All of the work that's proposed is with respect to the main house, the two-family house. There's no application for permission or approval or what have you with respect to any occupancy or residency of that secondary cabana structure.
And it's my understanding that while that has, I think, some limited utilities, it's not heated, it's not technically considered a habitable space, and you would, the applicant would so stipulate that it's not a habitable space?
That's right. No heat, no AC.
Thank you.
So the variances that bring us before you this evening are basically because we are in the R2 zone. R2 zone permits single family residential. This is an pre-existing non-conforming use. This two family use, and so anytime anything is requested to be done to a property that's a pre-existing non-conforming use. Requires a D variance, requires us to come to the board, and the variance also with regard to non-conformity of the existing structure. The side setback that exists doesn't conform. We're not proposing to get any closer to the property line. We are staying exactly where it is, and that's unaffected by the application. So, unless the board has any questions, what I'd like to do is we'll have Mr. Condoros, the architect, sworn, and he'll walk the board through the property as it exists and what's proposed as part of the application. And also with me this evening is Michael Burke and Glynis Burke, who are brother and sister. They are the owners of the property. So they'll probably come up to the board eventually at some point. So let's have Tony sworn.
Okay, you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And could you state your name and spell your last name for
me? Anthony Condoris, C-O-N-D-O-U-R-I-S.
Okay, so Tony, you testified before, but shall we put your background and credentials as a...
I'm a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey since 1996. So
you testified here many times.
Right. We accept your credentials. You've been before us many times.
Yes. Okay, Tony, if you would, do we have an additional exhibit?
Oh yeah, this is better than marked here.
This is an aerial.
A4.
Okay.
A4 is an aerial.
I don't know
my
sorry.
Okay. And Tony, I only have reading glasses in my hand, so I can't even see. It's an aerial.
Aerial view of the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Okay, Tony, if you would, you can refer to A4 to just give the board some perspective as to where we are, where the property is, and what's around us, and then we can go into this architectural thing.
Okay, so this illustrates the seawall here, so north is that way. This is the property in question right here. This is Waterview Way. One of the reasons we did this area was to kind of show the context of the neighborhood and in fact that there are other two-family homes in the area. I put X's on all the homes that are now two-family or multi-family. So you'll see the one here on the Ocean Avenue, very close to this, to our property question, is a two-family. Right next door we have a two-family. Over here on North Way we have three two-families, and then I believe this one has a four-family. It's not out of character of this area.
Right. And again, this is an existing two-family house that's been this way since
before they owned it.
Since prior to 1980 when they acquired it, and we're not proposing to expand that use at all.
No. And then that cabana, that separate structure to the rear, I call it the cabana.
That's on the property as well.
That's on the property. We're not proposing anything.
No changes to that.
We're not proposing the right to occupy for rental or anything like that.
No.
Okay, just for use by the occupants.
By the occupants, yes.
Okay. All right, so let's walk the board through your plans, which I know you have up. And those are exact copies of what has been submitted to the board, right? Your plan?
The only difference between this one is I put a square footage table on it because, okay. And I have a revision date if you want.
So just a sheet?
Mark it?
Yeah.
Just the cover sheet.
A5.
A5.
Which is, just plug in a cover sheet?
Cover sheet, yes. Revised cover sheet.
Revised cover sheet to the architectural plan.
Right, yeah. With today's date as a revision date.
And what's the change you made to
it?
I had
a zoning table. I didn't have a square footage table, so
okay,
I added that to it.
Oh, to show the
differences between the
different. Okay. All right, so let's walk the board through what exists today real quick.
Okay.
And can I stop you before you do it? And I apologize.
Sure. It's okay.
Did you make any little copies of that just so the board can see the square footage table or not?
I have a couple here.
It just might help the board, because yeah, I know you can see it up there. So.
I have to ask you to share.
They're good shares.
Sorry. Okay, so if you look at the site plan, you'll see that the house it's a relatively large lot, and the house favors the east side of the lot. Two of the variances that we're asking for are setback variances. We have a 1 foot side setback on the east side, which is existing, and we have a 4.9 foot setback on the north side, which is also existing. So we're not going outside of the footprint. We're not going any closer to either of those lot lines to decrease those setbacks.
You're just expanding because you're adding.
We're extending them, right?
Extending.
Yes. Okay. And extending them upwards. You can also see here that there's a pretty large parking area, which, according to the applicant, I believe they're able to park six cars there.
Yes.
So we have ample parking on site for six cars.
Mr. Holder indicated that they weren't marked as parking spaces. I guess you need to add that.
They're not striped, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the...
I just wanted to add a box to show that she has some hand for parking.
So you can put that on. Can you submit everybody's hand in the back? Okay. I'm going to skip the elevations for a second. So right now, the house that exists, it is a two-story house. It's more of a bungalow. Well, I wouldn't say bungalow, but it's a two-story house with a shed roof type of setup and gambrel. So if you look at the sheet Z3, you'll see that I have a heavy dashed line here showing where the bulk of the existing house is. And that's a good way to illustrate how much volume we're actually adding to this building. We're constructing a new second floor and a half story or a finished attic on the third floor as a third level.
Before you go into the elevations, Tommy, what is your flood elevation? Where are you in relation to that?
Our first floor is, right, the current first floor of the house is at about 9.5 right now. Mm-hmm. I believe the flood maps say 9 for the zone. Obviously, the design flood elevation for Seabright's ordinance is 13, so...
But you have to be 2 feet above the flood, so you're lowest to the bottom of the lowest number.
Right. Existing, we do not comply with Seabright's 13-foot ordinance.
We don't have, if it's 11.5, they have to be 2 foot above, well, you have to be a 13. And you're at 9 now.
We're at 9.5. The house is not going to be raised, but we did add a stairway to the...
The zoning officer states on her denial and her permit that the first floor addition is unfinished space, so the BFE is okay.
Yeah, I had a discussion with Mary about that. The only thing that's new on that first level is an access stairway to get to the second floor, and that's going to be unconditioned flood resistant.
So there's no addition to the addition of space being added to the existing home is up on the second floor.
Correct, yes. Yeah, all the rest of them.
Ground level was not at the high, now your ground level, your most level. The one is at 9 foot.
It's occupied and it will remain occupied.
So that's the new area,
but we're not changing.
No,
we can say it after that's next.
I would think you would have to bring the whole structure up to the current code.
Only the new addition has to comply.
That's right. That's what Mary told.
That's what it says.
Yes.
So the new additions will comply. The existing condition doesn't apply.
And you're allowed to do that?
Yes.
I'm asking these questions because I expect you get an approval from us, and then you go to the building department.
No,
the building department says you can't do this, and you went through a lot for nothing. You finished your drawings, you know.
No, we specifically addressed that, Mr. Cashmore, with Mary.
From a practical standpoint, is there a reason you're not raising the building?
It's a big cost, and probably would prevent them from doing the rest of the renovation if we were to pay for it.
Cost-wise.
Yeah.
Height-wise, I think you'd be okay. You have the room to walk. You're only at 33 now to the peak.
Right. We yes.
So height-wise, you'd be okay.
Height-wise, we would be okay, yes.
But back to the reason, Mary decided that because the addition to the first floor is not occupiable.
That's right.
That's the reason that they don't have to conform to the new standards. Because it's just like it is today, except for this air-conditioned, unheated space in the back. That was her decision.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a discretionary decision. It'd be a good one. I've never heard. I've never had that sort of bifurcation, or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they're still building everything at that same level. Nothing's being raised.
Yeah,
the new part's still going to be at elevation 9.5.
I just don't want you to get a certain amount of percentage of work that you have to bring up to the current level.
That we have to deal with. Yeah, that will be further looked into as far as construction costs and things like that.
Yeah, but she was pretty clear. It was, in fact, we asked her to put it right on the her analysis that we were okay on the BFB. And then, so in the extended addition, so there's two apartments in this building, right?
Yes.
One bedroom and a two bedroom.
Correct. The one bedroom is on the second floor.
Right. One bedroom upstairs, two bedroom below.
Yes.
Not increasing the number of bedrooms.
Not increasing.
Adding a little. How much space or how much square footage are we adding to each of the apartments, respectively?
So on the first floor, we're adding 68 square feet, and that occurred because I took the stairway out of the middle of it and it went to the back, so that we picked up 68 square feet on the first floor. On the second floor, we're adding 220 square feet. And then, again, we're creating a finished attic or a half story, whatever you want to call it, which is going to act as the bedroom for the second floor apartment. So the second floor apartment, the bedroom count does not change. It's just a much more spacious apartment and still only has one bedroom, which is now in the...
So the attic really should be labeled bedroom.
Third floor.
It's really a third floor.
Well, it's not.
Well,
it's under a square footage formula. So it's a half story.
It's a half story.
What's
the dimensions on that half story? That would be
the square footage?
Yeah.
It's actually an odd shape because it's tucked under the roof line, but it's 388 additional square feet.
It looks like a cross.
Yeah, exactly.
The roof looks like a cross.
Yeah.
Inside.
The reason it looks larger than it is because square footage is calculated on only a 7 foot ceiling height.
Correct.
So anything below 7 foot, even though it's floor area, isn't calculated in square footage. So it complies with the half story formula.
Yeah.
So just to walk into the floor plan, you can see on the first floor, the shaded area in the back, that's indicating the section that's not going to be habitable and it's not going to be conditioned, and it will be constructed out of floodproof material. So this is one spot that's going to be below the 13-foot elevation.
Will the AC units be above the flood elevation?
Yes, they will.
Yeah. So mechanicals will be?
Yeah.
And
as well as the internal mechanicals too.
So in other words, the heater will also be above.
Yeah, that area that says mechanicals, that's going to be raised above the 13.
Okay.
It's going to be an interesting, Tony, an interesting insurance situation when we separate a building like that, have different. It's certainly doable, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right, may assign a higher rate, but whatever.
It may be.
But that's a better thing than having to lift.
Better alternative. Lift will cost more than the mortgage.
Yeah.
And by the way, I neglected to mention the owners, Michael and Glynis. So when they acquired this property back in 1980, rented it out. The plan was to eventually retire and occupy it themselves, either or. And so that's the plan. So there is a plan to have both of the tenants vacate. They've agreed to do so in conjunction with this construction project. And then the owners, Michael and Glynis, are going to occupy each of the two apartments for themselves and move in permanently.
I'll just speak briefly about the way the house looks. We tried to keep that gable roof Seabright type of appearance, so hopefully we achieve that. This is a very crude 3D of it, but I can pass this around. Yeah. So that's how the house looks.
Actually, that wasn't marked.
No, it was not marked. Okay.
What are you passing around?
A6. A6 is, and describe that.
A rendering.
A 3D rendering of the finished product. This would be the street elevation. We do have a small balcony on the top, coming out of that third level bedroom, and then there's also a small bathroom in the back.
How do you choose who gets what floor? You flip a coin?
as the elder,
okay.
I decided less steps is better, and I have a dog. So,
is that the one with two bedrooms?
Yeah.
Well, it's a bigger one, but it's got the shorter
seat.
So I got it.
All
right. We know our neighbors.
Questions for Tony?
Are there any board members that have any specific questions for Mr. Condoris on his testimony? If not, I'll open it to the public. Is there anybody in the public that would like to have a question with the testimony given by Mr. Condoris? You can do statements later on, or you can ask a question right now. You're going to be testifying anyway, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, no, okay.
Well,
okay.
Yeah,
where we're all for.
So we'll leave that at that. So we'll close public portion now. Do you have any other testimonies then?
Did you have?
No, I just want to
come forward. Come forward. We're going to get you sworn in.
Do you solemnly swear and testify you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And yes. Just state your name. And
Michael Burke, and my sister Glynis is the co-owner.
And Michael, all of the information that I've given to the board so far is accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And everything Tony has presented in terms of the plans is accurate
mm-hmm.
and consistent
yes.
with your vision for the property?
It is exactly our vision.
And you had a statement for the board?
No, I wanted the board to know that we, our family came to Seabright in like 1961, rented on that block, four different houses over the years, and my sister and myself bought in 1980. So the people that are here are friends of ours for over 50 years, and they live on either side of us and down the street. So it's we kind of grew up all together, so there's no kind of unfamiliarity about who we are each other.
Am I remembering correctly, did your grandparents actually live in this property?
My grandparents rented the upstairs of the apartment back in the, or probably in the 60s,
right.
late
60s.
And we rented from Charlie's family for years. So we bounced all around from house to house, and then the opportunity came to buy. And this has always been a little dream to have a retirement community. I'm retiring in June. My sister's soon to follow. So we're coming back.
Great.
So hopefully to your approval.
Before you sit down, let me just run through a couple things with you. So you just described, you know, that you're making your sister climb the stairs and you get the first break.
So far.
But it's been a two-family residence since you bought it in 1980.
We bought it in 80 and it was a two-family.
It was a two-family and you bought it?
I forget. You remember who the...
It's okay. I just need to get some things on the record. That's okay.
Yeah.
So you bought it maybe it was a two-family and you bought it. It's been operating as a two-family since then?
Yes.
You have had no problems with the neighborhood. They've been tenants that have been a two-family the whole time?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you've indicated your attorney has stipulated that the second building that's on the property, he labeled it a cabana, so whatever it may be, that's not a habitable space.
No one's planning on living in it.
And you'll stipulate to that?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Any board members have any other questions of this testimony?
Mr. Chairman, may I ask that thing or two?
Yes, sir. We'll hear from Mr. Hoda.
Okay, I did do that letter the February 24th. Just a couple of things. Will the applicant be willing to show the parking spaces? And a note about any curb and sidewalk that's ruined has to be replaced to borough standards?
Yes.
Any gutters would run to the street?
Right? Yeah.
And not to adjacent homes?
I'm not sure what we have. I'm not sure on the back of the property.
No, I wouldn't judge anything. It doesn't show anything.
Yeah, right. So I got it. Right. Okay.
Yeah. And then, what's that yard drain that's in the yard? Do you have any idea? It's on the survey. It's on your plan.
Right. There's a drain?
Yes, there is.
And do you know where it goes?
China. No, I mean, it's just there's a French drain that dissipates within the yard, but I don't...
So you don't think it goes to the street? To the street?
No, it doesn't go to the street. Because it used to pond a little bit there, so it was just...
So it's really a French drain?
French drain going into the main part of the yard.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Probably just a percolating pit.
That's nicer than that.
See where
it sounds. It doesn't sound like that. I'm only standing because my back is gone. I apologize.
Okay, is that the
end? I have nothing for the end.
Any questions of any of the testimony that we've heard so far? Anybody have any other questions? And we'll open it to the public if anybody has any comments or would like to make any statements on this application.
Patrick Quinn. I'm their cousin, and I'm the neighbor to that house. And I've been neighbor to them for years, and they're great.
Every one of you out there solemnly swears that all the comments and testimony we're getting is true. That's the truth. Thank you. Okay.
Now, the board has to understand, just because they're wonderful people, that doesn't mean we approve the application if you feel that there's something that doesn't qualify for zoning or plans.
But
it's safe to say that you all are neighbors on Waterview and everyone is here in favor.
We all appreciate it.
Yes.
So to recap for the board then, there are existing bulk variances, the side yard setback, 7 feet required, they only have 1 foot. It's going to remain at 1 foot, but it's extended both, whatever, what direction?
To the rear.
To the rear?
It could be up
the extension side to 1 foot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also going upwards.
Yeah.
So you've got to the rear extension rear. And a
southern side of that.
Yeah, well, it's also going a little bit toward the front, too.
Front, okay, got it. Same thing with, you've got a rear, the accessory building is a rear at 5 feet required, it's at 0.4. Nothing's happening with that building, nothing's going to change. And this, the accessory side back, similarly, 5 feet is required, 4.9 is existing and proposed. Nothing is proposed for that back building.
That's right.
Your biggest, the next hurdle is, it's a use variance because you are expanding a pre-existing non-conforming use and structure. It's a two-family is not permitted, although we had a question about whether it was three-family, but it's not, and they've stipulated to that. So they are extending a pre-existing non-conforming use. You have had testimony from Mr. Contours, who has marked for you a 4, which shows the number of other 2-plus family homes in the immediate neighborhood. You have testimony from the applicant indicating that it's been a 2-family since they bought it in the 80s and probably going back. It's been a legal 2-family. The extension that you're doing, again, really is not extending their footprint that they're going up in a little bit, but only to like stairwells, et cetera, not a livable space, the bulk. You've got the indications on the chart that Mr. Gondoris gave us, the square footage and the increases. So they've responded to you with regard to the base flood elevation. So, excuse me. That's pretty much what you have before you.
All right, so if the application is complete, then we'll
yes, Mr. Chair.
Then we'll open it to any discussion with the board or a motion.
In my opinion, this is an interesting case, because, and it's a good case, because it really shows a careful, specific involvement by the governing bodies of the town, i.e. the flood control official and our engineer, and there's sort of a complicity in a positive way to identify. And that is a very positive move. I think I give you all credit for that kind of investigation to get all sides in a sort of elusive manner, which is great. So it's going to be great. Plus, if we said, no, there's a big family. That's my answer.
Well, does anybody would like to make a motion or any further discussion?
So it's only use variance. Again, it's as we've indicated, it's a non-conforming. It's almost as menace. I think that's what Mr. Smith was done with that when he started talking about the careful involvement of both the floodplain official as well as the architect in design, identifying the issues on the property and trying to design it so as not to exacerbate that condition.
I'll make a motion that we accept the application with the stipulation on the house.
Stipulation that the mechanicals will be above the VFE and that rear structure is non-habitable and will remain non-habitable.
Yes. And I'll second that.
I'll second that.
And a couple of items in my letter.
Yes, and I'm sorry, I do have that star. Mr. Hoder's letter C, items 1, 2, 4, and 10, I think, were the items that they have agreed that they would comply. 1, 3. Dave, you threw me off. I noted it was a 2, but it's really 1, 3 because there is no 2. 1, 3, 5.
Yes, there is no 2.
Right. Well, now it's 1, 3, 5, 6.
No
1, 3, 5, 6. They explained the rear yard drain.
Yes.
And then 10.
And 9.
And 9.
There's an issue there.
Right, the floor area.
And if there's an issue there. As well as the outside room.
I'll just say all of that is unsafe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And 10.
Yes, 10.
Council would be outside of the jurisdiction of this, but that would be the floor house. So that would be there.
But we put that in all of our.
No, it's just one of the
good.
Thank you.
All right. Can we have a roll call then, please?
Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Mr. Julio?
Yes.
Mr. DeSeo?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Ms. Rao?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think the blessing.
Number three.
I just, I, 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 I